My man, OC, you know I love my NFL Game Pass. Well, they've given us our very own discount code. If you get NFL Game Pass Pro subscription, you can use Jason and OC 15 for 15% off. You get access to up to 14 live games every week and a host of other content on demand. Jason and OC 15 for 15% off.
Oh yeah, okay, see. That's what I need, Simon.
I like this. Yeah. That's one of the early uprise tunes.
But I'm into that. Uprise. Oh, see, I cannot start the podcast without Uprise.
Yeah, it's important.
It's not a game.
It's important.
It's kind of like pregame. Mm-hmm. You're getting ready to get out there. You're in the locker room getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have your right music.
Yep.
If you don't have your right music, you can't ball.
It's important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
It stimulates my brain.
Yeah.
And that's a struggle.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Why? What is going on here? Why are we here so early, man? Now that I think about it, do we still need to be here this early?
We don't need to be here this early.
Yeah.
But I think.
Why don't we need to be here this early anymore, Jason?
Well, we were supposed to be here this early because.
Why were we here early before, and why are we no longer?
I had practice. It was a previous career that. You agreed that I should do.
Yeah.
And the practice schedule was one that forced us to come a little earlier so then I could go work on those skills.
Yeah, it was hard.
Yeah,
it
footwork, balance, coordination, fluidity, things I've obviously didn't have.
Yeah.
So things that obviously I didn't have. That's the first time in my career.
Yeah.
Of sports that someone told me I just didn't have the...
You weren't athletic enough.
No, just obviously wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And other people are better.
You know, speaking of which, Simon just said something about Tua, right?
Yep. Earlier. Yep. Tua
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
I love it.
Tagovailoa. I'm feeling Tua, but he said something... After this past game,
okay.
That I'm not sure how I feel about.
Well, I would like to know exactly what that was. This is interesting.
Tua Tagovailoa said, you know, this NFL thing isn't as hard as I thought it was going to be.
He said that in the press conference. Those words?
Those were his words.
Whoa. That's I didn't hear that.
And I said,
Whoa.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
That's not good because someone else said something like that and was thinking like that before.
Mm.
And you said your statement was, this is a humbling game.
Oh, it's going to humble you.
And that person plays for the Browns.
Yeah. And he has been humbled.
Exactly.
Tour. How many times did I say his name? Three times?
Three times.
In Africa, when somebody says your name three times, you're in big trouble.
Man, that's like Candyman.
Yeah.
Did you watch Candyman?
I didn't watch Candyman.
Oh, yeah. Don't say Candyman three times in a year.
No, I didn't. We weren't watching TV in Nigeria when Candyman came out. It was a fight for survival, J-Bell.
You weren't worried about
We didn't have time for trivialities like... Candyman.
That lets you know of the struggles of my upbringing.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And oddly enough, like, you know, my father was well off.
Yeah,
and things were still
interesting.
Crazy. So, Tua, let me tell you something, Tua. The teeth that, you know, you used and your tongue that you used to say those words.
Mm-hmm.
Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, they're going to knock all of them out your mouth.
Do you think...
They're going to knock all those teeth out your mouth.
Can you contextualize how he was actually saying it?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Just the fact that the words came out of his mouth.
This is flat out stupid. It's hubris. It is, and for a guy who is not that kind of person.
No.
He is, you know,
by
good
all
guy.
Accounts, an amazing person.
It just doesn't make any sense. Because right now you're hot, you're rolling good, things are going very, very well for you, but the NFL is a humbling game. It is a humbling league. You're going to go through a patch in the next couple of weeks. Things aren't going to go well for you. And they're going to make you eat those words. For sure, J-Bell. For sure.
Okay, so I agree with what you're saying about the NFL and being humbling, especially for young quarterbacks. I mean, you haven't seen – there's so much you haven't seen.
Yep.
And defensive coordinators haven't done to you to challenge you. I will say this. Miami and their head coach, Brian Flores, we talk about offense all day. We talk about defense because we love it. We talk about special teams because I enjoy it.
Yep.
But most people forget that this game is all about three phases. And if you win two, you usually win, right?
Good chance.
Miami is winning on two of those phases.
Yep.
They are beating their opponent in special teams, and they are playing great defense. Brian Flores, obviously the head coach, is a defensive mind from the Belichick Patriots tree. So he is playing the game to protect Tua.
Yep.
And or, okay, that's one side. Or is Tua the quarterback he knew he needed to play his game?
Yeah.
Brian Flores' game and how he wanted to approach his process of building a team.
You got to think about this Miami team, right? You got to think about what they are defensively. Good football players on the defensive line. My guy Ogba, he's got like 8 sacks right now. He's balling, right? Pretty good linebackers, right?
2 good corners.
The corners
are amazing.
They have 2 lockdown corners.
Bump and run.
2 lockdown corners. Yes. 2 of the best corners in football.
Yes, yes.
This is a formula for success.
Yeah, true.
And everybody kind of – it's like they almost didn't know what was going on in Miami.
They spent so much money and resources in the offseason and free agency, right, because they had it.
Yep.
And their money's playing well for them.
Yep. So it's a good football team.
Yeah,
it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy to beat this football team because of the way they're built and because of the way they play. And then you throw in Tua, who is a fantastic touch quarterback. I like the way this guy plays. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Everything I said before has nothing to do with what I think of this guy as a player. I think this is a really, really good player, and he's going to become a great player. This is what I think.
Yeah.
You just can't talk like that, man. And can't do it.
Yeah, you're right. And don't forget, like, you have an elite staff, I think, an elite coaching staff that is doing the right things for you. We always talk about young quarterbacks, and something that can happen to them that isn't good is them getting in the wrong system.
Yeah.
Or the staff not playing towards their strength when they're young. And you can kind of forget that by making statements like
that.
I truly like what they're doing. And the one thing I think for all the Dolphins fans out there, listen, they might have more explosive offense with Fitzpatrick in there. Like, let's be honest. But they're going to have less turnovers in their mind with Tua in there.
Yep.
And that's what Brian Flores wanted to build. That's what he saw in his future as a team and an organization. So I want to see this thing play out. One thing is, man, I love how this league is shaking up, man. There are teams coming out of nowhere that are building successful franchises for the future. So it's going to be interesting. I think you're right. Tua's going to hit some he's going to hit some roadblocks. This is the NFL, so he might come back with different quotes at the end of the game. I got to check that out, man.
He's going to change.
Another young quarterback I'm loving with the play of the week. Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins. Last play of the game. Hail Mary. Goes up there. So many things we could talk about. We'll probably get into our show with critiquing exactly what happened. But, I mean, this is what makes this game beautiful. It's not over.
Yeah.
And this kid, the way he threw that ball, going to the Did he roll out to his left?
He rolled to the left.
And threw all
juke
right hand
body right handed.
Oh, see, how hard is that?
And almost impossible. Almost impossible.
And I want everybody to understand, as a defensive back, as soon as he rolls mm-hmm. away, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, and I'm on the other side, in my mind, he can't do this.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of we I don't want to say we get lazy, but it's such a difficult throw.
Yeah.
This is what I mean, the Cardinals are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. It was a incredible throw. The catch was good. But I'm going to sound a little bit like a hater here.
Mm-hmm. That catch was brilliant.
I'm going to sound like a hater.
Okay.
Here, right?
You don't got a lot of hate in you, though.
I don't. That's why I said I'm going to sound like a hater here. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, sir. Two XL gloves. He wears size double XL.
Okay. That's number one.
Big hands.
Right? Big hands. Right? DeAndre is almost 6'2". He's 6'1".
Yes.
Right? Vertical leap, 36 inches. Right?
Okay.
The people who were covering him, mm-hmm. three of them, mm-hmm. all of them, none of them are over 6 foot tall.
Okay.
Not one. None of them had a vertical leap over 34 inches.
Really?
I did my research. None
you did?
Of them.
You went and figured it out, huh? Okay.
Because I saw somebody talking about this.
Yep. Okay.
So, Kyler Murray throws that ball up, right? You have three people on him in excellent position. Three of them were in excellent position. Mm-hmm. Hopkins comes down with the ball.
Right.
And the whole world goes crazy. Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. It's a brilliant play.
But who else could have come up with that football in that particular situation? Who should have? Who out of those four people
right.
should have made that play?
The defense should have.
That's what you say.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But given the facts that I just told you.
Yeah.
A guy who is taller,
yeah.
bigger hands, mm-hmm. higher vertical reach, longer arms, there really should have been only one winner.
If all of that was a one-on-one battle, yes, but it was four-on-one, right? Or three-on-one?
Three-on-one.
Three-on-one.
Yes.
And the way
– it's a jump ball, Jason.
Okay. So the way we're taught is this. And this is why we used to bring Plaxico Burris in with us. And
thank you.
And use him as our jump guy.
And Julio Jones.
Yeah, and Julio Jones.
They would put those guys yes. back there specifically for that yes, reason, yes. Jason.
So, that being said, say you had them, you had one of those guys back there for the jump guy to go attack the ball. We, the other two guys, would have been knockdown guys. Even Plax knew to knock it down.
Okay.
What the Bills did wrong is they thought a couple of guys were like, I'm about to get a cheap pick.
That's not what I saw.
I'm about to pad my stats. They went for the ball. I didn't see the knockdown guy because you would have seen it. You've seen this before. Well, you wouldn't. You'd be rushing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
But the swipe down. We're not going and trying to high point the ball. We are literally trying to hit that thing out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
We're not because what they did, to your point, is they tried to compete with a guy who has the advantage mm-hmm. in high pointing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw, what was it, Poyer knock into
the other two.
The corner.
Yes.
And kind of knock him off.
Yep.
And that's because he's playing the ball. And when you
was he trying to catch the ball? Because he reached for one hand.
He was trying to catch
the ball. He reached with one hand.
Yeah, he was trying to catch the ball. One of them was trying to catch
with
the
one
ball.
Hand.
Well, the other guy was trying to catch the ball. The one in the front was trying to catch the ball.
So one was trying to catch the ball. The other two were trying to knock it down.
I think
because they both reached with one hand and still couldn't get there.
Yeah, they were trying. One got knocked out of the way because the guy kind of bodied him.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, you have designated roles in that position. I've been in there yes. a lot of times mm-hmm. where all three of them playing the ball like that,
mm-hmm.
it didn't work out. Yeah. One of them, they should be knocking it down. You see it in other games where guys are just like literally swatting at the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Not going up straight,
mm-hmm.
but literally swatting and timing the swatting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that. And, you know, I obviously at the end when I replayed it, I was able to look at it. When I first watched it, I couldn't really see it. But mm-hmm. at the end, I'm like, what did they do wrong, you know? And it didn't seem like the designated roles were played out well. And you, McDermott said this in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you got guys going up for the interception. He said it. Mm-hmm. at the post-game interview. So once he said that, I looked at it differently.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened.
That's not what I saw. Yeah. But we're going to break this down on our show.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened, man. I get that's not what you saw.
Yeah.
But, that's what happened.
Yeah, but that's not what I saw. I saw some people jumping up, trying, and I saw another guy who was physically just better, taller, more physically imposing, reach over them,
he's come down
with the ball.
He's the best guy in the NFL at, like, contested catches.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hate to cover that dude because it doesn't matter how close you are on him. He's like, oh, you want to body me? Fine. I'm going to just move you out of the way. And one thing is, we talk about dual sport athletes, and this is something for everyone to think about. We talk about quarterbacks who play baseball and can, you know, especially the ones that were shortstops, you know, catching a ball and throwing off balance. Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, right? These dudes are throwing the ball all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
When you play basketball and you got the rebounds off of the backboard, it's that timing, right? Catching the ball in the air. Plaxico used to tell me that's how he used to do it.
Yep.
And Hopkins was a hooper.
Yeah.
And you just see it, man. Those dudes with those – you know, play different sports. It's like your footwork, man, from all your years of soccer.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of Russell Wilson.
He's not in my MVP conversation anymore, by the way. Can I throw that out there? He's off. He's off my list.
I think that – you remember maybe one of the first two shows we did?
Mm-hmm.
And I said – to you and I think it was Mark, I was like, what I'm seeing from him, this can't continue. He's throwing to wide open people, and this can't continue. This is going to stop at some point, right? And I think Mark was like, you know, it's not going to happen, and, you know, is this enough? I hope you're not right, blah, 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 right? But here's the thing, Jay, I think – when you played in the NFL for so long, right, and you've been around the game the way we have, you just kind of see things that in your head you just have to know that these type of things, they're not conducive for long term success.
You're gonna hit a little rock in the road. It's gonna throw you off.
It has to happen. He was, you know, dropping those dimes on there, but he was throwing to these dudes. It was like 3-4 yards of separation between him, the receivers, and the wide open people.
Right, true.
And now Russ has, I think over the past 4 weeks, 13 turnovers. Like, they're picking those passes off because then those people are no longer wide open.
And he's got, I forget the number, but how many he has in the red zone.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I mean, scoring plays, he's throwing interceptions.
Picks.
He's giving away points.
Yes.
And that's because, first of all, I agree with you. These are 2 points I'll make on that because I totally agree with you. First, this is the difference when you don't have balance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We said let Russ cook, let him do his thing. The Seahawks, Pete Carroll, always believed in balance.
Mm-hmm.
Always try to establish a run, things of that nature, because to your point, they understand, hey, you can't win every game.
Can't do that.
You know, you're going to have off – games, we got to get your rhythm back. But if we're running the ball, that can happen. We have the play action pass. We have a lot more tools we can use. And second, defenses get better.
Yep.
As the season progresses. We had no preseason. So we had no tape on anything or anybody on what they did. Now teams are like, this is who you are. You had, then you go, so we're figuring them out. But then you go on another level. You go, this is why teams pay certain players in certain conference and divisions or whatever. You got to win your division, right? Jalen Ramsey goes out and gets that money. To me, top corner in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Gilmore, top two, and then Humphreys is in there. They're the top three to me. This dude is big, physical, and can run. He shut down DK Metcalf.
Yes, he did.
So, and what have they evolved to, the Rams, meaning? Their defense has evolved to, he goes and he shuts down your guy. And then they play mixed coverages and things.
To the other side.
Right? And it's working. This is why he's got the check. And he's done his job. I need you to stop the big plays the explosive playmakers so our defense has a chance to make these people earn every yard. And he did that. But you're right. Russell Wilson now knows he has to ball out, OC.
Yep.
He can't play regular. He can't go out there. Remember we had a discussion about you knew how you had to play well to win. I knew I had to play well enough to stay on the team.
Mm-hmm.
My performance, if it was even and I didn't impact the game either way, that was good. Don't lose the game, J-Bell. Mm-hmm. You just couldn't go out there and be regular.
Yeah.
You had to make plays.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson understands he has to make plays, bro. He can't kick field goals. He can't lose a possession and punt. Got to score.
Yep. And they are struggling.
To your point, it's hard to sustain that kind of level of play. You know, and remember we talked earlier of how they were struggling on third down?
Yep.
And they weren't efficient on third down, but yet they're just coming up with these big plays, right? When they dry up, bro.
Yep.
That's where we are, and that's why what you're seeing with the teams that are playing well have balance and offense and defense and on both sides of the ball with being able to stop the pass or the run.
Mm-hmm.
It's all those teams are the ones that are going to evolve now that we're coming to the championship rounds.
The championship rounds. I love that, man. What else we got, Jay?
Man, I'm just throwing it out there, man. Mm-hmm. I will say this, man. I looked at something that made me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith threw for 390 yards.
Yeah.
And you just think about if you never thought you were going to walk again.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's
it's
that just makes me feel good for him.
Yeah, it's the fact that he overcame that to get back on the football field. That's just incredible, man.
I mean,
it really is.
Just think of what he went through, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of all of the ups and downs. I mean, you really got to be strong physically and mentally,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know. Man's back on the field.
Yeah.
They lost, but, you know, Washington lost. But, I mean, the guy's out there throwing. He did throw the ball 55 times.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Speaking of being mentally tough.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Not necessarily ask. Just discuss some things with you. Because there's a book that you told me to read a long time ago. I finally got around to reading it.
Okay.
And this is probably one of my top three books now of all time.
Really?
Of all time.
Which book is it?
Of all time, Jason.
And I suggested it.
You suggested
it. Oh, this makes me feel really good.
Of all time.
Really?
There's
I think I know what it is.
Probably not. But
okay.
There's something about knowledge and reading.
Yep.
Because, I love to read, and it's like for the past year, my appetite for reading just keeps on. It's like as I read and I learn more, I just want more and more and more and more and more.
You think the lockdown really helped you? Do you think it gave you a little bit more time to just
I wouldn't say it's that. Because, you know, it's audiobooks now.
Yep.
So it's like I prefer that, like, when I'm going somewhere,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know.
Love audiobooks.
But they say ignorance is bliss. It's not. It's really not. I feel like knowledge, right, in some ways is bliss.
I feel like there's an argument for both.
Yes, you're right.
There's an argument for both. Depending on how you're genetic makeup is.
Yeah.
But we all like to be ignorant to something.
Of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we knew, let me tell you, and I want you to continue.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew the day I was going to die,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't be I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm ignorant to that.
Yeah. But if you did know the day you were going to die, think about how many things that you would do that you're putting off now.
There's a strong argument for that, but that's a hard way to live.
Yeah. Anyway, so the book I read was Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Oh, you finally read that. I didn't think you were going to say that. I read that years ago. Fascinating. Fascinating.
Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Fascinating book.
There have been so many questions, Jason, that I've had.
Yeah.
Right?
How did this country evolve like
this? I could never understand
why it. Why are they like that?
I could never understand it, right?
Iron ore, buddy.
It had got to the point, Jason, where, and this is going to sound crazy, right? I had begun to question the intelligence of African people.
Okay.
I had begun to question it, mm-hmm. right? Mm. Because I was like, why are we here and everybody else is? Mm-hmm. It just didn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, but I know so many, and we're so smart. Mm. Why are we here and everybody else is there? Mm-hmm. And when you read this book, right?
Yeah.
You begin to understand that all of this stuff is just pure luck.
Where your feet are.
And nobody is more intelligent than none of that.
Osi, we're sitting here having this conversation under circumstances of relaxation.
Yeah.
Okay? It's because of everything that has nothing to do with us.
Yep.
The luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
Period. Period. One of the most significant things is where you were born and who you were born to.
Yep.
Okay? Where you were born and who you were born to. Those are deciding factors in the outcome of your life for the most part.
And that is the deciding factor in
civilizations.
Civilization.
Guns, germs, and steel. Listen, if you're sitting on land that you dig down and you got steel that you can make these weapons, when you go fight the other people that don't have that in the ground, forget the intelligence. You just don't, you know what I'm saying? I got guns and you got, you know, sticks.
Jason, so when I said that knowledge is liberating,
yeah,
like I have a way of now looking at things and looking at people, like just knowing that, and I'm like, you know, yeah, you're American, yeah, but you just got lucky. You know what I mean? You're not smart. You're not.
But I think
we're all the same.
We are all the same, and I agree. But I think what happens to people is they feel attacked, and they start to and they take that, and they start to have. They start wanting to justify why they have what they have
exactly.
And the abilities they have. It's okay, let's take it to athletes.
Yep.
And people, and they always say, your God-given talent. I remember as a kid reading a book on Joe Montana, and I don't know if I should have asked this to the higher powers, but it kept saying his God-given talent. And I said to myself, man, I want to work for my talent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I had to.
Yep.
Now, I had great talent. But I had great talent.
Yeah.
You know, and people like to give the excuse, I would have done this if I would have had that talent.
Yeah.
You don't know that. But I know as athletes, you know, at times you feel attacked by people and their perceptions that it's just you just show up and do it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to really work.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of it that way, you think of people in predominant roles or situations and you know at some human element there they want to justify their position, society, life, you know, as a country,
yes,
as a belief system, all
yes.
That I mean, I get that,
I get it,
I totally understand it.
Yeah,
but
I get
right.
It
it's a fascinating book. You know, there's another book that tied to that and I'll give it to you later, but it talked about how it's kind of on what Guns, Germs, and Steel was talking about, but it talked about how what your geography did to the country, right? And just by pure landmass and what that was, how things happened. You know, you look at the, and I don't want to sound like an expert on this continent, but you look at the riverways of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Simon, does that make sense? Yeah. Because they all connect, right? And they you can get everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's how you have the spread of language. You know, all these different tribes and stuff, they had the ability to do that. In Africa, you don't have that. They cut off and they stop,
yeah,
right? They don't go through the whole continent. Yep. Am I right? I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. But I think, and that's why you had these tribes develop and they didn't have contact with each other as things were happening, because you had a huge landmass where you couldn't get to people.
Yep.
So it's just fascinating when you dive back into those things that have nothing to do with anything except the land your feet are on.
Yep.
You see how it shakes out. I mean, one of the most well-developed continents, the Aztec or the Incan Empire, which one?
Yep.
Yeah, right?
Both.
Both, right? But they had no defense to germs.
Like, it's...
None.
And it's just, you know, reading these books and, you know, having your mind open to certain things, man. It's, I was in a constant state of confusion because of the things that I, you know, seen and just didn't make any sense. And then all of a sudden, boom, you see, and you're like, wow, this is crazy.
Yep.
And so now the question is, what do you do with that information? What do you do with that information? Is the question.
Depends on your motivations and what you're, I think it's different for everyone. I think self-awareness is important. And I think that knowledge of certain things and topics, you don't have to be an expert, but it gives you, I guess for a lack of a better word, people can't pull the wool over your eyes.
Yep.
You know, and you approach things and subjects with a more open mind and heart because you know there's information out there to be had and understood.
I think
that's how I look at it. And
I think everybody should just, okay, let's just start with our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Just read this book.
It's a good book. It's a good book.
Get the audiobook.
It's a good book.
Listen to the first half.
It's a good book.
Just for your information.
It's a very good book. Gun, Germs, and Steel is a very good
humbling
book.
Humbling.
Yeah.
It's very humbling.
Yeah.
And liberating at the same time.
Knowledge is liberating. You know, I had to say something to my daughter the other day, and I don't like talking about this kind of stuff, but this commercial comes up. And it's a certain population, you know, she's looking at it, and it's Feed the Hungry, you know, these people. And I start watching it. And I'm looking, and every time there's a commercial on, she's looking at people that are from this country.
Yep.
And I just saw her kind of look up, kind of, you know, six-year-old. Mm. And I said, Anaya, that's not how it is there.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're learning about it, but let me show you different pictures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was able to do that because another channel I watch shows what's going on from a technological standpoint in this country and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm showing her and I'm like, look, this is how it is too though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, don't plant this seed in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know every commercial you see is like you're sad and you're sick to your stomach. Oh my gosh, you know, these people look like this.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't have the knowledge. She's 6 years old. What does she know? She knows a lot, actually. But as a parent, I knew, okay, the one thing I can show her is I can show her something else.
Yeah.
And I can take her to a place, give her that information so she goes, oh, I get it. There's a balance to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very aware of that because I seek the knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert, but I just know because of what I've learned, what I've read, I just knew that was important to make sure she sees the bigger picture in her own six-year-old way, right? But, you know, I'm very interested to hear any of our listeners what they do with their kids in situations like that. Mm-hmm. You know, tweet at us, man. Let us know because we don't have all the answers. But Gun, Germs, and Steel.
I think I know what to do, Jason. I think I know what to do. I think I know what I would do, is what I should say.
With this knowledge you've obtained, with all the knowledge.
With the knowledge, I think I know what I would do. Like, if, for instance, I was in charge of Nigeria or African country, right? Mm-hmm. I think I know what I would do. The more I think about it, I think I would try to change the perception of things. I would try to change the mentality. I think I would focus everything, all our country's resources, on agriculture and healthcare.
Two big nuggets.
To be happy, right? You know, reproduce, you know, pass on, you know, your genetics or pass on whatever to the next generation.
Yes.
But the object in life, you would want to just be happy, right?
Yes.
For the most part. This is what we all, this is what we all, you know, the pursuit of happiness.
In some cultures.
In some cultures. I remember being in Nigeria, right? With no TV. We were just playing amongst each other. We were having a good time. We were doing all the things with no anything. We were just having a great time. And I have never been happier in my life. We didn't have no TV. We didn't have none of this stuff that people consume now all the time. We had none of that. It was just each other. And this was the best time of our lives.
Is that because you were a kid and you know that?
I was up to 14.
Still young.
Still young, but, you know, we would go to our village. And in the village, it really was nothing there, right? And it was me, all my cousins. We would all sleep in the same, in my grandma's house. It was like 30 of us. And we'd all sleep on the floor, you know, and we'd wake up and, you know, it was just being around each other. And, you know, our grandma would cook and it was a real rural. So that being said, happiness and everything in the Western world is declining. People are killing themselves more now. It's an endless cycle of consumerism, you know, just more and more and more, and you want more, and you, it's just every, you just want to consume more and more and more, and the more you have, the less satisfied and less whole you feel. So is this the way? Is it? With all the technology and with all the stuff, people aren't getting happier.
Some people are.
Really small percentage of people.
I just can't answer that because I don't understand how people feel. I understand how you and I feel, but some people, that could make them happy.
I think, from my perspective, because of how we are as a society, and I'm talking about in Africa, I think the Western way of doing things shouldn't be pursued. I think we got to pursue a completely different model. Completely different model. It doesn't have to be, oh, building big buildings and technology and more. It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't. It doesn't have to be, oh, look at my watch.
Right.
Look at my new chain.
Yeah.
Look at this big bag. It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't have to be that.
I mean, that doesn't make people happy.
No. Why can't it be just, if you have food in your stomach, shelter, and good health care, if you have all those things.
Those are all infrastructure things too, though.
But if you have all those things.
But those take infrastructure, which is building.
If you have all those things. Health care.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
What else do you really need?
Those are basic. Those things will keep you happy. I mean, listen, the United States is supposed to be one of the most developed countries in the world, right?
It is.
Well, where's our health care? So, I mean, it's you're priced out of it, you know. And if you have,
why are they priced out of it? It's not that they can't do it. It's just that they've chosen not to.
It's the way the system's set up. Yep, I know.
I don't know.
I know.
Those are my thoughts. Anyway.
I will say this, though, and this is to your point. I think what you're saying is right, and I think that I was reading something the other day in former President Obama's foundation and what it's about, and he said, you know, one of the main things it's focused on is developing, leadership for the future. Mm-hmm. Because as a man who's been at the top of the political spectrum, mm-hmm. he understands that that pipeline of leadership, like we talk about the pipeline of coaches, the pipeline of players, all that, mm-hmm. he's like, we need to develop and give access to people to be leaders. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to be where the change is from. Because as you said before about this knowledge you're obtaining, you tie that into, this is what I would do in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is being a leader. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is going out there and trying to get people to understand your vision, try to articulate that, and trying to show them that it's about the well-being of citizens as a whole. Mm-hmm. So the key is, let us find out who these leaders are. Make sure they have the proper understanding, education, knowledge about the world in its entirety, because we are a global world. Mm-hmm. We are all connected. So if you don't understand your neighbor, do you really understand your home? Mm-hmm. It's all about our leadership in the future.
Yeah.
Because that is the key. We in the United States, you see that void. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is in your face, man. The people leading, the people making decisions, it's shocking.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the former president. I'm talking about all throughout our political structure. I mean, these are the best and brightest?
Yeah.
No. So it's a leadership thing, and knowledge, understanding, compassion, all these things, man. We need the leaders of our future, the leaders of our future, to have these things. Yeah. So I'm with you. I'm with you. I like what you're saying. All right. I have one thing to mention, my brother.
What you got?
Somebody got a sack on Tom Brady, and it wasn't you. And it happened this weekend.
Yeah.
And it was our friend, F.A. Obada.
Yeah. Great play.
Great play.
Great play.
And he wanted that. He spoke about that.
Yeah.
Shout out to F.A.
Shout out to F.A.
Because you know what? He can tell everybody for the rest of his life. Oh, you see that dude that's supposed to be the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
Put him on his back.
I put him on his back. It was a good move, too, man. He came through. It was a nice little – we call this the swipe, the windshield wiper. He came. He did the windshield wiper, turned the edge, got to the quarterback. Great play.
That makes you proud, doesn't it?
I loved it.
I absolutely
– I didn't love it. I adored it. That's my new word when I really like something. I adored it.
I adored it. That seems like you really care.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do.
I adored this conversation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, that was good.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm going to reread this book. Okay. I read it years ago.
It's amazing.
You got to read it.
I
didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I did not expect
Guns, Germs, and Steel.
Yeah.
When it came up in my – because what happens is I buy a book, uh-huh. and I'm reading the book, and then under it shows, you know, what you should – Mm-hmm. And I saw it. I was like, "Gun, didn't Jason say something about that?" Boom, bought that. Started listening. I was like, "Wow."
I'm rereading that. You know, that's why you should always reread your books, because you forget stuff.
Yep.
Anyways, I forget so much of my financial books every day, but I don't know if that's just because I'm not that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want
to get
into that. Yeah. Ask OC. Ask Jay Bell.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
Let's see.
All right. Let's do this. Annika. Okay, this is from Annika. Mm-hmm. I'm going lockdown loco, OC. Mm-hmm. Lockdown loco.
Lockdown loco.
Yes. I need some new Netflix or Prime, mm-hmm. you know, whatever OC recommends. Mm. Help uprise life.
Mm.
Oh, help uprise your life? Man, I don't know what Simon be writing. Okay. Help uprise your life.
Okay. Okay. I recently watched Cobra Kai. Have you seen Cobra Kai?
Oh no!
It's on Netflix. It's
good.
It's good.
The old Karate Kid people.
But it's they're older.
They've
now.
Grown up.
Yeah, it's a dope show. It's a dope show.
You see how it panned out.
It's a dope show. It's really really good. Really good show. I watched Schitt's Creek.
Oh man, Nadine loves that.
Yeah.
Loves it.
That's a good
show. It's won a ton of awards.
Yeah, really good show. Really good show.
A ton of awards.
What else have I been watching? What is a really good show on Netflix? The Killing.
Ooh.
Have you seen The Killing?
No, but I saw a little advert. Did I say advert?
I've been there a long time. Yeah, The Killing is a really good show. I got a ton of them, man. I got a ton of them. You see, what I do now is like...
You know my mom listens to your suggestions.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So she's going to be sucking this in. Shout out to Jerry Bell. She listens to the podcast. Definitely. What up, mom? Sorry I haven't called you in 2 days.
Oh, that's not good, Jason. No, why would you not call your mom?
I usually always call her, but I just... Sorry,
You've been
mom.
Depressed lately?
No. My mom is so on your side with you know what.
Yeah.
She's like, OC's right.
I am. Craig. We got something for you, Craig. Yeah?
My
we got something for you, bro.
My mom is ready. She's whatever you say is going to happen, she's ready to roll.
We're going
to
do it, man. I blame this all on Craig. I do. It's okay.
Get here early.
Yeah. We got something. It's okay. What else we got, man? Is that it?
Oh, no. Dando 84. This is the last one. Okay. Dando 84. Did you wear number 84 is my question, or is just 84 your favorite number?
You talking about Dando?
Dando, okay, yeah. I just want to know.
Maybe he was born in 84.
Maybe he was born in 84. Shout us out. Let us know. Is there anything in the NFL stats that show performance on certain days or in prime time? Or do you think it's all random? P.S. Kirk Cousins is now 1-9 on Monday night.
Yeah, I think it's random. I think it's random. I don't think it has anything to do with, the time of day. Or
I do think that is not as random.
Okay, why?
I think that it is hard. You see some teams get good at this, but West Coast teams going to the East Coast playing that early game, and you know how they say they were sleepwalking?
Yeah.
I have seen that happen with my own eyes. I will say Seattle, who does well when they go to the East Coast, I remember reading that, and we talked about this, how they practice in camp early to get ready for that. So I think that does – it is random. Some teams react better, but I think the teams that aren't prepared for that, it does impact them. I've seen it happen.
Well, from a personal standpoint, I can tell you that because I'm such an early riser and somebody who goes to sleep early, I hated playing night games.
See?
But hold on now. And I usually never played well at nights until one day I got 6 sacks in a game at nights. So that went out the window, Jason. That went all out the window, J-Bell.
You said, this means nothing.
So it was all random.
Victim.
So that's why I think that it is. Because, those were my thoughts. I was like, oh, I hate playing in that. 6 sacks. Boom. Okay.
Yeah. That is a trip. But you couldn't just rest during the day. You just get up too early.
Yep. Couldn't. And I would wake up at my normal time. And I would be awake. You know, people would take those naps and that.
Yeah,
I couldn't
do it.
So I'd be awake the whole time up until nighttime and go out there and play. So I hated the night game.
You're like, this is just, I need to get out there.
Yeah, sucks.
Super Bowl's always at night, and you always balled in the Super Bowl. All right.
You know.
I guess OC just proved to you that it's random. I cannot fight that at all. I will say some primetime games at the quarterback position, the pressure of it might get to them.
Maybe.
But I'm going to go with random.
Yeah.
All right, man, that's another podcast done. Uprise all day, all night.
I like it.
It doesn't matter what time you get up.
I like it.
The Uprise will be on.
You're going to wake up when you hear this song.
Wake you up, bro. Till next week, man. We got things to do tomorrow. Online workout classes. Shout out Uprise all day. Till next week.
Don't try and pretend, did it again. Gave it to me like way back when. Don't take no offense, don't try and pretend. Shake it for me, don't shake it for them. This rhythm's for me, go give it to them. Go hands on your knees, we're living again. We bloody defeat, we're dripping again. We're making a scene, let's kick it again.